So we've been studying the book of Genesis, and we've been looking at the life of Abraham. So I'm going to start, and I'm not going to go to a new passage in Genesis. I'm going to review kind of where we've been a little bit, and then look at a scripture in Romans that I think is very good for us, and hopefully will inspire our faith. So just as to start out, what is a number one thing that discourages you as a believer? Just think about that for a second. I mean, there could be lots of things. Lots of times people tell me, oh, they feel sinful and far from God. But another one is we feel like our prayers aren't getting answered or like nothing's happening, right? Have you ever felt like God, like nothing's happening, like, you know, what's going on? He just feels like he's not doing anything yet. So that's kind of the issue I want to address today. Charlie and I talk sometimes, and we see these promises in God's word, say like for something like healing. And then we look at praying for people to be healed. And we see some people get healed. We've seen miraculous healings. But we've also seen a lot of people not get healed. And so there's this sort of this gap between like the promise of God and then kind of where we're at in our faith or our ability to apprehend that promise. Does that make sense? And so that's always hard. So God calls us to learn to be faithful, to learn to persevere and hang in there, to keep believing when it's hard. And I'm hoping that what I share today might help us. So if we go back to Genesis and his calling, Abraham and his father and his wife Sarah and then his nephew Lot were in a city called Ur of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. God spoke to them. They moved kind of north and west up to a city named Haran. They stopped there. And from that city, God spoke to Abraham again and told him to follow him to a new land. So this is from Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It's the first scripture on your outline. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay. So the promise I want to look at is that first one. I will make you a great nation. Before we do that, is anybody too cold in here right now? Pat, okay. Charlie, could you just go just tap it up like 3 degrees. Okay, just push up the temperature button like 3 or 4 degrees. It just seems really cold. What's the matter? Oh, Peter's saying like it's beautiful. Well, even I feel cold. Usually I don't feel cold because I'm preaching. All right, back to Genesis. I will make you a great nation. Did Abram have any children when God said that? Did he own any land that could become a great nation? No, so he was childless and landless. So the first point in your outline, at the time of God's promise, the great nation was non-existent, wasn't there. So this leads me to the next scripture, Romans 4:17b. Well, actually, let me read Hebrews 11:8, I'm sorry. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Do you ever think about that? This is a great scripture. Okay, Abram, go. I'm going to take you to this country, and you're going to inherit land there. Okay, Lord, where are we going? Just follow me. Never been there. Doesn't know what it's like. He didn't have a tour book. He didn't get to go online and see what the promised land looked like. He didn't really know where he was going, but he was following God. And that's why we admire Abraham, because he's got this great faith, right? And then it goes on in Romans 4, addressing this believing God when he doesn't have anything yet, Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of what? Nothing. He creates things out of nothing. I don't know if it's Latin or Greek. It's Latin. Ex nihilo. God created the word ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I love Psalm 33. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Why? Because he spoke and the world came into existence. He's awesome. And this is still going on today. Not in that God's creating our world or any new worlds that we know of, but he does new things. He brings into existence churches or ministries which did not exist before. He reconciles people to himself who weren't reconciled to him. He does new things in our lives or in people around us. William Bradford was the leader of the Pilgrims. They founded Plymouth. In 1630, they had a special ceremony to establish Boston as a city. So the Pilgrims, I think, had been here for about 10 years already. So at the bottom of Beacon Hill, there's a monument, and it's got an inscription. And one of the quotes is from William Bradford. Listen to what he said. Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand who made all things of nothing. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled has shone to many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. So he had that understanding out of nothing. God can create things. So Bradford saw two small settlements of Christians, Plymouth and Boston, all right, coming forth as if out of nothing by God and having the potential to be a light to the whole of England. Wow, he had faith, didn't he? God honored that faith. 11 years earlier, neither of those towns were in existence. God brought them forth through people who had faith. So let's have faith for things that do not exist. That's number 4 in your outline. Anybody want to say amen to that? All right, thank you. Let's have faith for things that don't exist. number 3, his word has the power to create new things. And that's what Psalm 33 is teaching us. There was a man, a brother, who's works in the jail ministry that I'm a part of, and he goes into a different cell block. We had a meeting last week, and he shared Romans 4:17 about God brings things out of nothing. New American Standard Bible says he calls into being that which does not exist. It doesn't exist, but God calls it forth. And he said he felt challenged to pray for things that haven't happened yet at the jail. So one is we're trying to start a discipleship home so when guys get out, they have a place to live, and they can get some encouragement and stick with the Lord. So that would be huge. Right now, men get out of jail. They don't have money. They don't have a place to live. And they usually end up going back to their old friends, and then they end up like doing drugs again, and they end up stealing again. They end up back in jail. So it's not a good system, what we have right now. So our church actually contributed $2,000 towards the discipleship home, and we're working on that. Also, we just need to see more men touched by the Lord. And so there's these things that we're praying for that aren't in existence yet. And that's part of the Christian life. I was really stirred by that scripture. God works by giving us a promise or an idea for something new, which doesn't yet exist. We believe it. We pray for it. We work for it. And eventually, it comes into being. So Abraham had no children, yet he believed God's word to him. He had faith. Now, was Abraham this kind of guy that, like, he's just way up there beyond the reach of any of us more human people? No, what did we see a couple weeks ago? Abraham also had fears. He got scared. He and his wife traveled to Egypt. There was a famine. He goes, look, you are so drop-dead gorgeous. They're liable to kill me and like take you as their wife. So just tell everybody you're my sister. How would you feel, wives? Would you appreciate that if your husbands did that to you? No, you wouldn't. And Abraham did it, and it happened kind of like he was afraid. They said, wow, this woman's beautiful. Oh, he's the guy's sister. They were going to put her in, they put her in Pharaoh's harem, and God took Sarah's defense and sent diseases on the Pharaoh's household. And then they're like, wait, what's going on? And they found out what's happened. He goes, why did you do that to me? We see that he's very ordinary. So number 5, God uses ordinary people who believe in him. They have faith. They make mistakes. They get scared, but they persevere. They keep on believing after they make mistakes. Are you with me? We're all going to make mistakes. You got to get up and keep going. How about Gideon in the Bible? I love reading the story of Gideon. When I read like what Gideon's like, this is Judges 6:13, he seems to me to be a hardworking guy with an attitude, right? Because an angel appears to him and says, "Oh, valiant warrior, the Lord is with you." You know, like most people, when an angel shows up in Scripture, they're scared. You know, they fall down. This is Judges 6:13. It's on your sheet. Look what Gideon says. "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites, who were overrunning the country." Anybody else ever felt that way, though? It's like, come on, Lord. What are you doing? But that's not wrong. I appreciated Michelle's testimony earlier, how she was angry at the Lord, hearing this message about what fathers are like and how good and kind and they're there for you. And she's like, I didn't have that. She went for a walk because she was angry. And we have to work those things out. It's good to be that honest with the Lord. So God didn't say, well, Gideon, you got an attitude. We'll go pick somebody else. No, he stuck with him. What else did Gideon struggle with? Fear, doubts, right? He goes, okay, God, if this is really you, and he put a fleece, you know, like a sheepskin out, goes, let the dew be on the sheepskin, but not on the ground. That's how it happened. He goes, okay, God, I'm still not sure. So tonight, I'm going to put it out again, let the dew be on the ground, but not on the sheepskin. And it happened again. So we look at that, man, what's wrong with Gideon? No, most of us are like Gideon. Like, we have trouble when God speaks something to us or gives us an idea. Then, like, carrying it out sometimes, we're, like, struggling because it's a little scary. Doing something new can be scary. So God uses ordinary people. Gideon carried through, and he won a big victory for Israel. The fact that we cannot see what we're hoping for and believing for discourages us, all right? We feel like it's not going to happen. So the next 2 points, number 7, we need a real walk with God to renew our faith. As you keep reading in Genesis, you'll find that God appears several more times to Abraham. And each time, Abraham has to like believe all over again. That's just how it is. So the next point is we must battle and overcome our discouragement. Discouragement is common, but it's your enemy. It's something you have to overcome. If we give in to discouragement, we won't enter into what God has for us. We'll get stuck. I shared with you, I was at a New Frontiers conference in St. Louis in February, and I heard this message about taking back territory for God. And it really stirred me. I'm like, wow, you know, well, I used to pray that way all the time in Boston. Like, I need to be like more diligent about praying that way again. And it just gave me like a fresh energy and commitment to see God work in our city. God is at work. 25 years ago, a bunch of us as pastors were praying every week together. And one of the things we prayed for was, God, send workers to Boston. No, Jesus said, pray for laborers. We prayed that, you know, for a number of years. It used to be if somebody came to Boston and started a church, kind of like everybody knew about it because not that many people came here. Well, in the past decade, dozens of people have started churches in the greater Boston area. I can't keep track of them all. There's all kinds of churches I don't even know about. God answered our prayer. Praise God. But it took a long time. As a church, we have a vision for starting new churches. So right now, there's City Church. We were meeting with City Church last week. 11 years ago, City Church didn't exist. There was no City Church. But David and Betsy had a vision. We encouraged them in that. They started a small group in the Fenway, and then they went for it and started a church, and it succeeded. So God called into being something that hadn't existed. How many of you have ever had coffee or crepes at Neighborhoods Cafe? So Betsy Hill, of the same David and Betsy, my daughter-in-law. They used to meet in the Fenway at a club, and she'd look across the street, and there were these empty storefronts, and she'd say, boy, it'd be so nice to have, like, a coffee shop over there, and, you know, people from our church could go there, or people might start coming to our church through it. And she had that idea for, like, a year or so, and one day she prayed about it, and she said, Lord, your word says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. She goes, you know my idea for a coffee shop, but I sure don't want to labor in vain. So, like, if this is not from you, I don't want to, like, try it. And she felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart and said, if you undertake it, I'll build it. Wow. So that gave her the faith to do something new. And she asked, I mean, she had to do other steps of faith. She had to see how, you know, what permits do you need to start a coffee shop? She came and talked to Ingrid and me, and we're like, wow, you started a church. You've got four children. You homeschool them. You think you have energy to start a coffee shop? So, like, I mean, we were, like, kind of blunt with her that I knew about the word from the Holy Spirit. So when she shared that with Ingrid, Ingrid's like, well, the Lord told you to do it, then you got to do it, right? But see, there's steps of faith that, you know, it doesn't instantly happen. But over the next year or so, it came into existence. It's great. Are you getting the point that I'm driving at here? God's still doing new things. How many of you have enjoyed going candlepin bowling with a church and friends over at Flatbread Pizza? Yeah, it's really fun. Now, a year ago, we didn't do that. But we started this idea of, like, hey, we need to connect more with people outside of our church. We're too ingrown. So we started different events. That's one of them. Michelle and Janine have hosted card writing parties. It seems kind of like, I don't know, old-fashioned or something. But women love it. It's like something really great. We didn't do that a year ago. What else? We did the outreach at the Warrior Ice Rink. 3 years ago, we did nothing at the Faneuil Youth Center. But Steph got an idea, like, hey, this youth center's closed. That's wrong. The city ought to be doing something for the kids at Faneuil Gardens. So we worked through it. Now, one day a week, we're there. We've been there for 2 years now. They are so thankful for us. We have great relationships now with the leaders of the community center. So these are all new things that God has done. Look with me at third from the bottom, Isaiah 43, verse 19. Let's read this together. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God does a new thing, rivers in the desert. How many of you ever feel like Boston's kind of like a desert spiritually? Yeah, it feels that way. And God says, well, I make rivers run in the desert. That doesn't stop him. Praise God. You know, something happened just this past week with me that was kind of shocking. Our next door neighbor, guy we're very friendly with, we've invited him to, like, Christmas or Easter services. I invited him to Alpha this year. He goes, Dave, thanks, you know, but I'm good. Well, he came up to me and said, like, hey, Dave, can you talk to me? He goes, I got something, and I really want to pray about, like, God's will being done. I'm like, wow. I said, sure. And so we got together the other day. We spent an hour and a half together. It just, like, he was, like, wide open to the Lord. So at the end, he, like, prayed, gave his life to the Lord, asking for God's will to be done in his life. I'm like, wow, yeah, praise God. You know, it's really exciting. And then yesterday morning, we had the Alpha, and we had the Holy Spirit teachings, and we're praying for Stephen and Judy and sharing. God just touched them. They're hugging each other afterwards. They're so happy. We talked about getting baptized in water. All three of them want to get baptized in water. Isn't that great? And, like, Sherry had some, like, questions. She felt like she didn't have faith or not. I said, well, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? She goes, oh, yeah, I believe that. I said, well, that's faith. I said, do you believe he, like, rose from the dead? She goes, yeah, I believe that too. And so we went through a series of things. And then at the end, I said, well, do you want to be baptized? She looks at me right in the eye and says, I'd love to. Isn't that great? I was so encouraged. That's a new thing. God's doing a new thing in their lives. So we serve a God who loves to do new things. All right, I think I skipped point 9 on your outline. How many of you last week were at the joint service with City Church, and we had a brother from India who's now living in the Middle East who used to be a Muslim, and he shared his story. All right, it was very impressive. So he went from being a Muslim to becoming a born-again Christian. His family got really angry. Got us going. He kind of said, like, oh, when my mom found out that I'd been baptized, she sat me down and said, oh, this is wonderful. You found the new path in life, and I'm so happy for you. And you're kind of thinking, like, wow, that would be a miracle. He goes, like, no, that didn't happen. He's like, all hell broke loose. And, like, all his family gathered in this little home they live in to, like, rebuke him, and he got beaten, and his cousin put a knife to his throat to encourage him to come back to Islam. I mean, it was just kind of like, but his theme for his message was, if God is for us, who's against us? And he had this other story that his mom went to a witch doctor to put a curse on him. Like, there's parts of the world where people put curses on each other. And some people have power. They actually are effective and inviting Satan and evil spirits to afflict people. So she took a lock of his hair and gave it to the witch doctor and said, like, okay, I want you to, you know, like, put a curse on him so he comes back to Islam. Well, like, I guess it was like the next day or something, came back, the witch doctor's all shaken, said, here, take the lock of hair. And she was like, what's the matter with you? Because I went to, like, invite this curse on him, and there's a wall of fire surrounding your son, and it burned me. I want nothing to do with him. And he's saying, like, wow, I had no idea there was a wall of fire about me. So I want to just point something out. So on the one hand, there's this wall of fire around the guy that he can't be cursed. But on the other hand, he's getting beaten. His dad chases him down the road with a sword. Was it all easy? So God's protection doesn't mean you never suffer. His protection is he's still alive. He's serving Jesus. He's got a great ministry. So number 9 on your sheet, suffering does not mean that God's not with you. So I'm sure there are times our brother felt like, wow, God, where are you? Like, this is kind of rough. But then he remembered Jesus said, you will suffer persecution. In the world, there's tribulation. Hard things are going to happen to you. So Jesus warns us about that. But he's still with us. And so we have to learn to connect with him and be encouraged. Okay, one last story. There was a time in my life where I was not bold. I was timid. I was afraid of what other people would think. I did not have the courage to talk about Jesus in front of people who didn't really believe. So I was at college. Some of you heard the story. I was a freshman. I was going to a Bible study. My Bible study leader talked to the man who led the Christian fellowship in church, Dave Zeeley. Many of you know Dave. And said, oh, I think Dave Hill would like to talk to you. So Dave came to my room. My roommate was there. And he's saying, oh, what do you want to talk to me about? And I was kind of tongue-tied. I'm like, I honestly didn't remember, you know, saying that. So it was an extremely awkward situation. So I'm like, gee, Dave, I don't know. And then he just kind of left, and I felt stupid. And he told me later, walking away, goes, Lord, that guy is just, you know, like a weak Christian. I am never going to visit him again. Okay, 5 years later, Dave asked me if I would help lead a church planting team in Amherst, Massachusetts. So what happened? A lot can happen in 5 years. The Holy Spirit changed me. That's what happened. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so how did I change? The Holy Spirit was changing me. I was listening to good preaching every week and trying to take it to heart. And I realized I had a responsibility to talk to other people about Jesus. So that meant I had to, like, step out of my comfort zone and start doing that. So I did. I wasn't very good at it, but I at least made those little steps of faith, and after a while, at least I got so I could talk to people. I'm trying to put some courage in your heart. I think it was Bill Gates who said something like this: we overestimate what can happen in 1 year, and then we get discouraged. He goes, but we underestimate what can happen in like 5 years. And that's true for us as Christians. We have this, oh, you know, nothing's happening. But then 2 years later, 3 years later, all of a sudden we say, like, oh, a lot's happened. So we have to press through that feeling, amen? We have to press through the discouragement. We have to press through the nothing's happening. Press through, I don't see anything. Yes, it's not in existence yet, but you serve a God who calls into being what doesn't exist. You serve a God who says, I am doing a new thing. Can't you perceive it? And a lot of times we're like, no, Lord, we can't perceive it. But by faith, we can perceive it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Praise God. Did you get number 11? It's the scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, so take a what? No, a step of faith. You don't have to take a big leap. Just take simple steps. Do simple things that stretch your faith. Hallelujah. Jillian knows I love her. I'm not harsh at all. I'm like, no, it's just take a step of faith. All right, let's get the worship team up here. Peter, if you can go. Get the kids. All right, so I want to take a couple minutes to honor the fathers in this church. Does that sound good? I'll try and do an Ari Wertheimer blessing, all right? I was reading an article by Rick Warren, very well-known preacher out in California, and he listed several attributes of a good father. So please listen to this. One is, a faithful man of God cares about others. And he quoted that Paul said of Timothy, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And one thing about the fathers in our church is they have a genuine interest in their children's welfare and in other people's welfare. And I really appreciate that. He said a faithful man of God is consistent or faithful. You know, you show up. Come to church, provide for your family. Those are things our dads do. They're very faithful. They're very consistent. I really appreciate that. A faithful dad cooperates with others. And he was looking at Paul and Timothy and how they work together. And Paul's always listing these other people that he works with. So he wasn't just like a lone ranger, you know, out there. He was very much in fellowship and he worked with other people. I see that totally in our dads, a whole spirit of cooperation. And finally, I see that fathers in our church really care about their children. They're concerned about them. They pray for them. They provide for them. And they want to see their children serving Jesus. They want to see their children successful. They want to see their children prospering. And that's wonderful. That's what dads should do, amen? Amen? And so we're really fortunate to have fathers who do that. If you agree with me, say amen. Okay, good. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's sing a song. We'll do a closing song, and then we have a gift to give out to all the dads. But let's stand up and sing a closing song together. I just want to encourage you as we sing this song, you serve a God who loves to do new things. So what new thing might God want to do in your life? What might he be calling into existence that's not there yet? It could be a character quality you're lacking. It could be a gift of the Holy Spirit you're praying for. It could be someone you're hoping will get saved. There's all kinds of things that we're hoping God will do. So I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you that they believe your word. They believe your promises. They pray for big things. And Lord, you understand, Jesus, because you walked on earth, that things don't happen in our time frame and we get discouraged. So I pray, let courage come into the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Let a hope that Jesus is at work in them. The Holy Spirit can do something new in them personally and in people around them. Bless them, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing a song, and then we'll honor the dads.
I want to be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy. God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, great I am. Your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty. None beside thee, God Almighty, great I am, the great I am. The mountains shake before him, the demons run and flee. The mention of the name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell, or any who can stand before the power and the presence of great I am, great I am, great I am.
Amen. The great I am is your Father. The things that are too hard for you are not too hard for him. The things that are impossible for you are not impossible for him. So be encouraged in Jesus' name. Please sit down. The children have something here to present, I believe.
All right. Okay, so Kaimi, why don't you stay on the end? You're on the end. Sam, you're next to me. Sam, you're next to me. So we made a list of all the things that we love about our dad. So do you just want to say the first one? Okay, so Sam wanted to say that he was very clear. Sam was very first. He said he fixes the roof. All right. So let's hear it. Ah, he fixes. Do you want to say about he trims the lawn? You want to do that one? And he wants me to do. And he trims the lawn. So it sounds like, that sounds like, okay. Okay, so Christian, which ones were yours?
I love my dad because he buys me clothes when they don't fit me anymore.
And I'm thinking this guy's growing, yeah, okay.
sleeps in our. I love my dad because he sleeps in our room to have fun.
Yeah. Okay. And don't do this one. That one for Leah. You do this
one. Makes us eggs. Reads books to me.
That's right. And Leah said that he reads to me and reads books to me. Those are the two. So we really want to say thank you to our dads. And do we have presents?
Yes, we do.
We have presents. So you're going to pick a present for your dad.
Here you go.
This will be especially good for Lee, it sounds like.
Take one home, yeah. Take one. Just pick it up. Go give it to your dad. They're all the same. Just pick
They're
one up.
They're all the same. Yep. It's for fixing things in the house. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there's some other dads here.
Yeah. Other dads. Everybody.
Like, Pete's Dean. Dean. And give some to the dads who like Brian. You give that to Brian. Let's see. Who else? Linus. Come on. Your dad.
Did you?
Are we forgetting anybody? Okay. So if you're a father, just raise your hand, please. Did John Barstow get one? You got one? Okay. If you're a father, please raise your hand just for a moment so we can identify. Okay. I want you to put your hand on the father next to you and just pray a blessing on them, okay? Father God, we are praying for every father in this room that you would bless them. You would encourage them to keep loving their families, love their kids. Father, keep praying for them. Keep believing for them. Father, answer their prayers for their families, we pray today. Answer their prayers for their families, we ask. And we just want them to know that we appreciate them and love them. And we believe you appreciate them and love them. So let your encouragement come into their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God bless you. If you would like prayer, our prayer team will be up here to my right to pray with you.